And you're listening to the Winners and Losers radio program on Epic Radio. That's right. The Winners and Losers radio program on Epic Radio. Eastern Panhandle Independent Community Radio, broadcasting from Shepherdstown, West Virginia. After the flood, so to speak.
It's awful.
So anyway, I don't like you either.
I see that you've nominated Ben Carson.
Yes.
To head the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Yes. Mr. Carson.
Now all we have to do is wake him up.
Doesn't seem to have any experience in that. Well, what do you have to say about that, Mr. Trump?
I have plenty of experience in.
Oh, wait a minute. It's Ben Carson himself here.
City people. I feel pretty good. I mean, the Lord has inspired me.
Yes.
Jesus works, and I will prove that most of these awful liberal programs are just a fantasy.
A people were. Poor people are poor because
they just don't
know how to get up and get it. That's all. I learned that from a lot of white folks I work with.
A lot of people understand how good I am as a surgeon. I'm going to surgically with...
That's right. our narcoleptic brain surgeon. Anyway. Okay, so... Anyway, in the past, I've expressed opposition to the Obama administration's new requirement that cities and suburbs develop plans to end their segregation or face possible loss of federal funds. Mm-hmm. Mr. Carson calls this social engineering.
Of the highest order.
Yeah, and says that such well-intentioned programs have unintended consequences that their proponents later come to regret. Instead, he says, emphasis should be placed on revitalizing distressed minority neighborhoods in central cities. However, what this view ignores is that the racial segregation of every metropolitan area in the nation is also the result of social engineering, the purposeful efforts of federal, state, and local governments to create and enforce the residential separation of the races. What the Obama administration has begun are plans to undo this social engineering. Failing to continue these plans doesn't avoid social engineering, it perpetuates it.
Yeah, I don't, you know, as we discussed before. To that, and I think we're going to see it very quickly, and it's sad. It's sad. So I have just gone out and tried to help people. Try to make sure people know that you're there for them if they need you. And as I have been associated with John for going on now, how many years?
25 years.
4 years. About 4.5 years.
Remember the message of the movie Arrival?
Yeah.
People's now... can differ. Your now,
right?
And my now,
but
also
when,
my then.
When will then be now? You missed it. When? Just then. That's from a movie. That's from
the Einstein.
No. It's from Spaceballs.
Yeah, but
it's from Spaceballs.
There's also a conversation like that with the mathematicians. Remember in it had Meg Ryan and Tim Robbins and Walter Matthau playing.
I don't think I did.
It was kind of romantic comedy, but a little bio info on Einstein when he was at Princeton, and you know it was cute. It had him and it had a great sort of comedy scene of him and three mathematicians, you know, trying to argue about time and having this almost Monty Python type exchange.
Well, I just
right,
when
you know,
bring up
pretty funny
when you know. Bring up Walter Matthau.
Yeah, he played Einstein.
One of the funniest
movie, yeah.
things I've seen. one of the funnier things I've seen is Kevin Spacey does one of the best Walter Matthau's, and it was all these people, all these actors auditioning for Star Wars, the original Star Wars. Yeah. So they had him come in and try to, I think he was auditioning for like Luke Skywalker.
Who was Walter Matthau?
Yeah, but it was Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Acting as Walter Matthau, and he was just like, I am Luke. Who writes this stuff? This is ridiculous.
Yeah,
yeah, he right. took issue with the dialogue, which is very funny.
Our brain surgeon is at the helm of housing and urban development, a subject about which he has said on other occasions he knows nearly nothing.
And he is wholeheartedly unqualified to have a multi-billion dollar budget and try to lead how many thousands of employees?
He's a brain surgeon. He must be a genius. And well, you know, I asked, how would you like to have a brain surgeon fly your 747 next week?
Right. Hey, know? John, listen. I do some pretty good voices occasionally. They're not great. There's a lot of people out there that are a lot better than I am. But you know what? Lately, I've been thinking I'm going to go ahead and get into software engineering. I'm just going to jump right in.
Really?
I'm
going to dump some code out there, man.
Yeah, I'm going to take over Microsoft. That's what I have decided. I think I'm better qualified.
Well,
I'm better qualified than a lot of people out there. So
because you
some
and
people
I,
say.
Well, because you and I agree on where women...
Believe me.
On the proper location of women in our lives.
Yes, well.
You know, then I think I'm going to make you the head of Microsoft.
Yes, they need to... They need to know their place.
You know? I love a man that can drink like you, too.
What was that about? What was...
I want to put somebody who's going to be kind of, you know...
Every once in a while, I like a nice cold bourbon, but I'm not a crazy drinker.
Well, you know, like those that, you know, drink even before breakfast.
I have a hard enough time trying to stomach this apple cider vinegar that I have to do a shot of to clear out my gallbladder.
Oh, I know. Oh, God. That's...
It's like pulling a scab off. You have to...
I'd just do it with a little bit of spinach.
I can have spinach in small doses.
But not a whole gob.
No. I love spinach, and I grew up on it.
That's too bad. So you have a.
But I can have Swiss chard, and it has to be cooked down. But it's like
as spinach.
Spinach has got that kind of.
JB gave me some Swiss chard the other day.
Well, I think spinach has got that kind of. Bitter, nice, tangy bitterness to it that I just really love. I miss it. My favorite thing was spinach and lemon juice. I don't know why. I grew up on it. That's the way my mother made it. I really enjoyed it.
Well, kind of the same, you know, tangy.
Yeah, very similar to if you wanted to use apple cider vinegar.
Apple cider vinegar is what we used to use.
But apple cider vinegar.
It's like a degreaser.
To a certain extent. I mean, you just...
You know, it's like a thing that you put a little bit of...
Well...
Yeah, they used to use a little vinegar in your frying pan.
I think you have to be careful, too, because there's a lot of videos that are posted on YouTube of people doing cleanses, and they talk about cleaning out your liver and your gallbladder and your kidneys. And what they do is they say you need to drink... You can only have, over the course of 3 days, you need to drink 32 ounces of apple juice a day. You can have 4 or 5 apples. This supposedly clears your whole system out. And then you're supposed to add. Listen, I'm not done.
I know, man.
Then you're supposed
to
add.
But I'm already.
You're
where's the restroom?
Drink Epsom salt. You're supposed to put like 4 tablespoons of Epsom salt in a quart of water. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. And then another guy has the apple juice thing. And then at the end, the third day, you're supposed to drink 4 ounces of extra virgin olive oil, natural extra virgin olive oil. And all of that over the course of 3 days is supposed to cleanse your... And I just think you can go over the course of time you can just introduce a lot better and healthier options for yourself. Like I told you, John, I eat a peeled cored apple and a banana every morning.
I have.
And then I have dry Cheerios, or I use oatmeal with milk, or not no milk. If I'm going to use milk, they said I could use almond. Almond milk extract.
I use the Bob Dylan Maggie's Farm diet.
What's that?
Brown rice and a dirty hot dog.
God, John. Yeah, give me one that's been sitting in that convenience store window for about 6 months. That should be. Yeah, what do you know, John? That'll be in there when they put you in the ground.
Well, sometimes I add some seaweed.
Oh, nice. Actually, God, a dirty hot dog.
Anyway, so by the way, Donald Trump, will Donald Trump uphold? Oh, excuse me, I mentioned the drunk creep, drunk freep, Freepy the drunk. Hey, Freepy the drunk.
Well, there's all kinds of names. They're coming up with, Mango Mussolini, Orange right. Hitler.
Uphold the Dakota Access Pipeline decision. Sunday brought good news for the protesters at Standing Rock, which has been a really interesting struggle.
Boy, howdy.
And I think the fact that veterans, started to show up there in significant numbers, as well as lots of other folks from around the country getting involved. And,
yeah, there was a gentleman that...
A gathering of people from other reservations. It was pretty significant participation.
Yeah, I was watching... I had tuned into Tom Hartman yesterday, who I think is a really
good guy.
Smart guy. A caller had called in and said he had driven there from Colorado. Just a man that felt like he wanted to do something. And, he served for 4 years and was out, and he had a job in Colorado. And he said he felt obligated to take some time off. And his boss said, was totally cool with it. And he went out there and he said it was really, truly amazing. There was a lot of wonderful people, a lot of brilliant art. Just the veterans were so... organized and just their transition from commuting wherever they were to Standing Rock and bringing supplies, food, water, making sure that everyone was okay, going around and saying look, we're gonna go talk, and they actually had conversations with some of the officers.
Yeah,
and some of the officers are not at all comfortable with what they're being made to do.
Oh, I'm sure that's true.
They're not. There's like three of them that were talking to the Native American folks, that the tribal folks, and they were like, "Look, we get it."
All right, let me finish this up. So anyway, the Army Corps of Engineers announced, and I guess we have to assume with the knowledge and approval of, and maybe more, of President Obama.
Yes.
We don't know that for sure yet, but seems a possible inference that could be made. Anyway, announced that they would reroute the Dakota Access Pipeline. They would deny it the easements that it sought to go under a number of rivers and streams. Mm-hmm. And
to which there is already a standing agreement between the United States and the sovereign people. There's and these Native American people, there's an agreement, John. You can't deny the fact that there's an agreement.
Yeah, I've read it.
Okay.
Okay. Well. It has some ambiguous language in it.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. Well, change the language to make it less ambiguous.
In the Constitution. Yes. Okay. hold on. Take me a couple of minutes to do that.
Hold on a second.
Here we go.
Let me get right to it.
Bang! Hey,
there,
hey,
done.
It's been changed.
Done.
Okay, it's done.
Finished. Done. All I'm right. done with okay. it. I told you I was going to do it. Okay. I did it,
yeah. Anyway, according to the spokesman for the, and the statement itself of the Army Corps of Engineers, quote, "The best way to complete that work responsibly and expeditiously is to explore alternative routes for the pipeline crossing." That's from Joe Allen Darcy, Assistant Secretary of the Army. And the decision represents a victory for the members of the Sioux tribe, environmental activists, and anyone else who believes in the power of the people to enact real change. The pipeline was to be built under a section of the Missouri River near the tribe's reservation and posed a significant human rights issue. The Dakota Access Pipeline, according to Robert Coulter, executive director of the Indian Law Resource Center, not only threatens the water supply that is fundamental to the tribe's existence, but it will also pass through and destroy burial sites and sacred places. For months, Native and non-Native protesters camped out at the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation near the proposed site of the pipeline, battling the bitter weather and facing off with police. Still, Sunday's decision does not guarantee the end of the pipeline's construction. The Army announcement merely calls for further research into alternate routes, meaning the pipeline could simply be redirected, maintaining its environmental risk. Second, there is little assurance that the decision granted under the Obama administration will be honored by the next Donald Trump, who has investments in the pipeline's company, endorsed Freep. The completion of the...
Commander and Freep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Trunk Freep.
Hey, I think everybody out there in radio land, I think John just had a spasm.
I'm sorry, I had run over a bump in the road called, well, I can't even say the name. Anyway, so while this moment is worthy of celebration, it probably does not mark the end of this fight.
I want to say something here. If you don't mind, I'd like to give some props to an actor that really puts his money where his mouth is, and that's Mark Ruffalo, who donated a great deal of money, time, effort, and supplies to the good people there. He's really pretty instrumental.
All right, good.
In making sure that they had clean water and clothes, and warm clothes especially, and he still continues
to... Hey, man,
to,
don't forget Jackson and Bonnie went there, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. They did, didn't they?
Knows.
Didn't they? They had a concert.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, they had a great, uh-huh, great
yeah.
show
and
there.
Raised some money, you know, yeah. did some other things. Yeah, tough. I think, so it's been...
Tough lady.
You know, I'm... Bonnie?
Oh, God. Yeah. Man, I just...
Anyway.
You better be very careful messing with her, because I don't think anybody wants to mess with her.
Well, you know, now that you mention that, you know, that... By the way, Sammy Brown is coming in here in a minute.
Oh, that's all awful nice. It'd be good to see her.
And I guess what we'll do. I don't know.
This is the resistance.
Something happened to my... Oh, you know what happens?
What happened?
Sometimes.
Occasionally.
Sometimes. Sometimes I forget. Turn the volume on.
Yeah. Oh, lady.
Who can love me like a man?
President-elect Donald Trump.
I thought you weren't going to refer.
That's right. President-elect Freepy Trunk.
Shut up, Donnie. Shut up, Donnie. Shut up, Donnie.
Has picked James N. Mattis, a retired four-star Army to be defense secretary.
He has to get the waiver, though.
To ensure that civilian control of the military, the law that established the Department of Defense barred military officers from serving as defense secretary
7 years.
For 10 years.
I thought it was seven.
I'm just reading from the.
I think it's 7 years.
Later amended to 7 years.
7 years. Okay. There we go.
Okay. In 1950, Congress passed a law to. Not be repeated. Should Congress pass a similar law to allow General Mattis's appointment, or would that undermine civilian control of the military?
I don't know that it's a great idea. I think it sets a bad precedent. But I will say this: he has had some views that completely differ from the current president-elect on foreign policy.
Yeah. All right, so here's some debaters that they quote here on this. Kirsten. Civilian control is fundamental to American democracy. The lone exception was taken from one of the most admired Americans of all time with a clear warning that it should never happen again. So that was basically her argument.
Right.
Anyway, Joyner, a Marine Corps command staff, recently separated officers are likely to reinforce the advice given to the presidents by the Joint Chiefs rather than offer a political or independent perspective. It's an interesting point of view. As deference to generals grow, civilian control suffers. And on the other hand, we have Peter Fever, identified as a political scientist, is sensitive to the requirements of civilian control in a way that even many of his military peers are not. Make an exception for an exceptional candidate.
Yeah, I think I saw Representative Schiff from California actually say he had no problem with Mattis. So
who's he?
Representative from Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
A Democrat?
Yeah. Adam Schiff. Yeah. He's actually pretty well known in the Democratic Party, but he said it was... I shouldn't say that. He didn't come right out. He said he didn't disagree, but he has a problem with, as Senator Gildebrand has said, they both have a problem with this process that, you know, this is not normal.
All right. I got another opinion piece here from Kofi Annan, former UN Secretary General.
Mm-hmm.
The United Nations reports that a record 65 million people have been displaced by global conflicts. And Secretary General, former Secretary General Kofi, and whatever, Mr. Annan, we'll just go with that.
Former Secretary Kofi.
Yeah, got the whole sentence there.
Yeah.
Whatever their level of faith in the process, voters go to the polls next year in Chile, France, Germany, Hong Kong, Iran, Kenya, the Netherlands, Rwanda, South Korea, and Thailand, among other countries. The hope is that democracy will fare better than it did this year, 2016.
It's interesting because all those countries you named, guess what they don't have, John?
Bicycles?
No, they don't have an electoral college!
Oh, I'm sorry.
None of them! None!
Okay.
You will have nothing like it! Good day, sir!
Okay, thank you. Okay, the Electoral College. But, you know, excuse me while I rewrite the Constitution again here.
Yeah, would you get on that? Get on that right away.
Bing!
I need you to rewrite that now, right away.
Constitution changed.
Good. Good. It was ridiculous anyway. People are so stupid.
You know,
I'm the only one that can change anything.
We have executive power here. But
settle down, John. You don't know what the hell you're talking about. I hate your little show.
This is the Donald Trump show is on WSHC.
Donnie.
Right.
Just so
you're listening to Eastern Panhandle Independent Community Radio.
Good morning, everybody out there.
The Winners and Losers radio program. And, yes, of course, today is Occupy West Virginia.
Yes, it is.
And we're going to get ready for our special guest here in a second. And because of that, it's coming up. We're going to continue with a Van Morrison morning here that starts right now with... I believe before the invasion of a bunch of hippies. They tramped all over everything, you know, but you could not escape those giant sound systems. That was you're talking about somebody who got there about 18 hours late.
Wait, you had a girlfriend?
And she even went ahead of me, and I didn't quite trust her alone with all them hippies.
Ooh.
Back.
My sister wanted to go. My dad told her to just keep right on going.
Anyway, but it was an unusual experience, let's put it that way, like many. But we're going to take a little pause here and get Sammy Brown hooked up to her microphone. She is hooked up to her microphone, but we're going to take a pause anyway because I got to figure out what the hell I'm going to talk to her about.
Yeah, I was wondering the same thing.
Yeah,
I was like,
this is a well-oiled machine.
And
everything is written down.
Well, I mean, I have some things I want to ask her that I don't think I can ask on there. But
oh boy.
You know, anyway, but we're going to, you know,
oh boy.
It's all going to work out. And this is
You're a loser. Be quiet.
Know. Something happened there.
Get Trump off the show. What is Trump doing here?
Okay, here we go. It's not Trump. His name is Freepy Trunk.
Oh.
Or fascist creep Trunk.
I'll take it.
Anyway. Mango Mussolini.
All right, we'll be back.
Oh, don't get you. Get you in your throat. Feel the breeze is blowing.
Well, good morning, everybody.
And that last one, that Van Morrison's I Want to Rue You, is not exactly in Scottish what you might suspect.
It's Scottish, is it?
When I was
no.
When I was in California, I had a friend of mine that, in exchange for her supporting the union, suggested that I should go get Primal Scream Therapy.
Primal Scream Therapy.
I like it.
Which was sponsored by some, you know, East Bay insane, you know, acid head psychiatrist or something like that.
I was going to say,
know,
was it the acid? Yeah.
You know, and you, and,
I'm okay, and so am I. What? Who said that? Settle down.
And they would, you know, wrap you in this, you know, burlap bag, basically, this giant burlap bag, and suspend you by your feet until you started screaming.
Okay, that so sounds, you had me at burlap bag.
This would be a kind of mental cleansing.
Isn't that a
sort?
If
I have to do that to get your vote, you're just going to have to stick with the company.
Wait, do they hang you up by like your toenails? How do they do that?
How do you have?
I think they by your ankles. I mean, they had a.
Is it a bungee cord? Are you dipping in and out?
Yeah, kind of like a bungee cord.
Ooh,
yeah.
Okay.
But you're wrapped in a burlap bag of some sort.
I feel like this is like a Stallone scene. Yeah. Like I feel like it has.
Mickey, cut me, Mick. Cut me. You gotta cut the bag.
Wrong
Mick.
Movie.
I thought you said Stallone. Okay. Right.
So yeah. So I mean, I
please get in the burlap bag now.
Okay. Anyway, I Want to Rue You is not exactly what
back to the song.
All
yes.
of you are thinking.
No,
that's
it's
all.
Not.
I'm just going to say that it's something, you know, much more civil.
Outstanding.
You know, it has to do with a. Kind of, it, I mean, it's not entirely unromantic. I mean, it involves singing a song.
Yeah. You well, and isn't music romantic all the time?
I don't know. Some of Zappa's tunes.
I feel like they were infused with love somehow.
Of something. Yes, right. Everybody loves something.
You know, and some people actually have met and fallen in love over Eminem. So that's right,
true.
That's
true.
Losers Radio Program. You're listening to Occupy West Virginia on Epic Radio.
Eastern Panhandle Independent Community Radio.
You can access us at, you know this if you're listening to us right now, at www.enlightenradio.org. And you'll find players there. And also, as much as I can, a blog post on what's happening tomorrow. Today. Anyway, today is Sammy Brown, a former organizer for the AFL-CIO,
yes.
graduate of Shepherd College,
yes.
University, and, you know, a master's of fine something.
Business administration.
Okay. Anyway. and... father's name?
Lewis.
Well,
Lewis Brown. Yeah.
I have met your parents.
You haven't met the Papa Bear.
No, I met him.
Oh, yeah.
I did. Yeah. I met him. Yeah.
We went
great,
to see.
Wonderful people.
We went to see, Moon Man there, you know. With the Labor Council, right?
Moony, yeah.
And we only got to see Smooty. Smooty, his aide, came out to talk to us. Anyway, he just was going to answer. He was just going to send us on our way. You know, with his entire, a very substantial narrative of his biographical and a list of grievances that, you know, that I, you know, here to petition about. Not all of them had anything to do with why the Labor Council was there, but some of them did.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
and,
that is.
Out of there, I mean, the Smooty, within 10 minutes, but your dad made it so he had to sit and listen for almost an hour.
Dad's good for.
And Diane Brown, who, you know, a soldier of the labor movement.
Who will be retiring this year in 2017?
Right. A health and safety, I think, officer and research person for AFSCME nationally.
She sure is.
And anyway, so Sammy was persuaded by some of these misguided individuals, you know, including this radio station, to embark upon a political career to run for state delegate. Yes. And I knew we were a little bit in trouble when I went to, we knocked on one door with, I guess that was with Jill.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Jill Jones, AFT.
Yeah, for you. And this guy came to me, well, what does she like? What's her qualifications? I said, she's young, she's smart. I just don't know about anybody else, you know. And then he started asking more questions. Then he looked at your picture, and then I could tell, you know, his mind went into some weird zone at that point.
Yeah.
And I said, so we were sitting there. I said, wait, so you're going to vote for Trump? You know, and he said, yeah. I said, maybe you shouldn't vote at all.
maybe you should sit this one out.
I'm a bad house visit in some cases.
Oh,
you know,
man, John.
But anyway, but we had mostly good responses, although we didn't have a very good, you know, there wasn't anybody that said they loved Hillary. And, you know, you kept worrying about that one. You know, the failure of the West Virginia Labor Council to make a presidential endorsement. I mean, I say it's important because I think you, I think Rod Snyder, I think maybe Jan, a few others, you know, had it not been for the Trump effect, in effect, I think he would have won. What do you think?
Okay. Well, here, I think it's, you have to come to terms with the fact that there was a serious trickle-down effect from the top of the ballot. So what it comes down to is you had a candidate who, although I don't agree with anything he stands for, mind you, but in the way that he was messaged to conservatives, he was populist. And there was a trend for that this year. There was a trend for a populist candidate, an extreme candidate. And I do feel that our answer to that would have been the candidate Bernie Sanders. But that's just me. Now, the fact of the matter is that was such a contentious primary for the Democratic Party that there wasn't anything properly done for outreach to really fuse the gap. And at a certain point, you really do have to come to terms with the fact that how people felt about her, how people felt about Hillary Clinton and where she stood, trickled down to the rest of the Democratic Party. If I can localize it to just West Virginia, we have a serious issue with branding for our party. People do not believe we are the party of the working class anymore. They don't believe in what we stand for. They don't believe in our platform. And we are now deemed the party of Manchin. So all of his actions directly affect how people feel about everybody else down ballot. And in some areas that may play well. In the Eastern Panhandle, it simply does not. So that in and of itself is there the first real problem that I can give you. The other thing that I could talk about, John, is, and we touched on this a little bit, but I'm not really understanding the divisiveness within the party where we feel like we need to eat our own. Like what does that do to scrutinize the people that are on your ticket, to pick them apart, to tear them down? That didn't help anything. Did you make a phone call? Did you knock on doors? Did you raise money? No, you did none of those things to contribute to the success of the candidate. But yet 24 hours later, you've got...
You're the expert.
Exactly. And what I have to implore here, without, you know, being overly negative, because obviously, like, we're raw after this sure. cycle. It was an ugly, ugly cycle.
Everybody is.
But there's a difference between verbalizing and being an actual activist. And there has to be a genuine... And I can only speak to how I handled my campaign, but if you are not truly investing in people and if you aren't getting that kind of outreach, there is no way to overcome the overall negative branding of this party in this state. And we have it more so than probably any other state in the union right now.
We had it and we lost it. Mm-hmm. But, it's a lot. I'm sure it takes, some of the more thoughtful, you know, West Virginia political historians like Alan. I should get Alan Sturman here and we should have,
you know, Ray from over at the college, maybe get a little more involved in the, you know, drill down on the party realignment.
Yeah, Ray always has a very methodical, historical, well thought out, and he can see things. I think a lot of times that when you're in the fight, it's hard to see that jab coming. It's hard to see it because you don't see it coming. You really don't. I mean, I don't think, as John, you and I have said, I mean, it's very difficult to look at polls that seem to be, you know, hedging your way,
right?
And then all of a sudden, you're gobsmacked. You just, you know, you're slapped across the room. Like, what the hell just happened? You know. So
I mean, I can say, you know, just again from my own campaign, performance, and I can honestly tell you, yeah, I mean, and I was probably spread a little too thin, and I also know that part of it really does come down to the organizer's playbook does not work anymore. Like, I'm just gonna have to like throw that thing out from here on out, because this was a cycle that was completely unprecedented. There was nothing like it. So, you know, the old tricks that I had as an organizer simply did not work this cycle. And we also have to realize that outreach, there's something very and they came from the faction. I had a very large faction that was the independent voter. And if they don't want to give you feedback, you have nothing to go off of for your field numbers.
Yeah. Well,
can I say something, John?
Of course, yes.
Just interjecting here. I think nationally, there is a pervasiveness of national media platforms on the right that are selling a bag of goods that aren't necessarily really, because it's fascinating to me to break people down and ask them what they believe issue for issue.
Mm-hmm.
And then you compare that to what that side's platform is, and it doesn't even
come close
to matching up. And they've been brilliant. They've been absolutely brilliant nationally in state house fights.
Yeah,
especially in this state. I mean, they've spent money logically in the right areas where they know they're going to control the narrative.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I'm not sure that it's entirely just manipulation.
I don't think it is. I do think it's very strategic messaging that we on the left have not gotten a handle on, and this. People are going to disagree with me on this, but it's something that I adamantly believe. I am a progressive candidate. There was nothing about me that was moderate. Like, I'm very much left. And one of my biggest opportunities is, how was I supposed to message what I believe in and that platform that I know is for the best interest of my community and make it palatable to the conservative voter? How do I make that happen? And quite frankly, I wasn't good at it. I did not know how to message to conservatives, and that's how I lost.
You know, messaging to conservatives, you know, is a matter of when people are confused about each other's value systems, monetize it. Now, and sometimes you got. I mean, for example, we used to have in shops. There was always a division, right? I mean, there was there's always the, you know, the ass lickers in the company, you know.
Sure.
And there's always the, you know, the militants, you know.
Don't be so hard on yourself, John.
And then there's the people that, you know, are just really just trying to have the job not end before they get their house paid for type thing.
Right.
You know, all these, you know, there. And so, obviously, when people are under pressure, you're going to get divisions, you're going to get contention, you know, you're going to get a struggle basically going on. And sometimes, you know, it's really just a matter of getting people to put up or shut up. I mean, for example, if somebody has this foolish idea that they're going to let everyone's pocket get picked, you know, because they're obsessed about in the men's room, okay? Mm-hmm. And if we don't fix it, you know, I'm ready to give up my raise to allow the company to get rid of whoever is not peeing right, okay? And the and so I mean
those because you've been so experienced in so many of these struggles. John's got so many stories,
right,
about, you know, organizing and some of the things that are on a platform and trying to push them forward.
So you have
and have people that completely adamantly disagree with them, right, actually come on board.
Yeah, because you've got to talk about money. You know, that's the, and of course, if people make the wrong choices, you know, and you want to recover down the road, I mean, you're absolutely right about having works, okay, not mm-hmm. just a bunch of BS and hot air,
right,
okay?
Right.
Look at the basis, for example, of the right wing voter get out. It's the churches. It's the right wing churches.
Right.
And they are, man, they got 12 step programs. They've got the, thing down, and that delivers relationships, right?
I absolutely agree with you, John. I mean, for sure, especially in the 65th, and I really can't speak to the 66th, but the 65th, more so than probably any other district that I've come across, they have this like central faith system, and every single point of message that you have has to drive home that family values and that faith-based ideology. I think I don't want to call it fear-mongering, but let the window, and I can,
and it
definitely was the case when we talked non-discrimination, when we talked about RFRA, like it just thing after thing, it came right back to, you know, their premise, their relationship with God and their premise in family relationships,
right.
And
well, you have to fight it out over money, and you have to get families to fight it out sometimes.
Yeah,
okay. I mean, I used to have situations where, you know, the brother would tell me, well, you know, the other brother who worked in the same mill, you know, was, I said, you got to have a family discussion, pal.
Yeah.
You know, or you're going to be out on strike here, and that guy's going to scab on you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to work on that now,
right.
Not, you know, after you tell everybody that the strike benefits are $12 a week.
Mm-hmm. I think,
and we'll pay a few bills if we really have to, you know, kind of thing.
I think as candidates, right off the bat, especially if you tend to be a visible candidate, people want to compartmentalize you. So they want to kind of God, he was the gay evangelical.
Gay evangelical.
Sammy Brown was, you know, for lack of a better word, a labor thug who's, you know, and they put on all sorts of other things. But the fact of the matter is that when people don't know what to make of you, then they like to tack these words on. And sometimes you have to pivot and kind of break whatever that misconception is. So, you know, I had someone initially accuse me of a, he called it campaign finance fraud, which is absolutely outrageous. Like that's not even possible. But because I was endorsed by labor and so many of the labor entities, he was like, well, clearly.
That was just an anti-labor thing. Yeah.
Yeah, clearly you're racketeering. How do you rebrand that so people understand that these are my core values and the people that have endorsed me reflect my core values?
I don't think it's just a matter of branding.
You don't think so?
No, it's a matter of organization.
Well, that, you know, and that's a whole other conversation about the party right now.
Well, not just the party.
Well, I mean, it's interesting.
There's 3,000 members in the Eastern
right.
Panhandle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and I know what the Labor Council meets, but I know that half the people of the Labor Council don't represent anybody as far as actual real membership in the county.
Sure.
Okay, that would include me.
Well, I mean, it's interesting.
The vice president.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure about, you know, some, I mean, and actually Ken, who is now a city council mm-hmm. also, but he's no longer actually an officer
right.
of a local union either, I don't think.
No.
Interesting.
And always a member, you know.
Right, well, I mean. You know, these core values.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have this other entity that's considered labor, and it continues to me. Again, you said branding, and you said it's organizational structure. I think it might be a little
It's numbers. It's numbers of people you have
okay.
a relationship with.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what it is.
Yeah. That's
okay.
you know. But
the direct touch.
I was just trying to make a point that, unfortunately, whether we like it or not, over the course of the last 40 years, there has been a media onslaught on the labor demonizing movement. Labor and making you out to be something you're not.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I mean, I can't believe how, well, I can't believe it, but I've gotten a lot of that. I'm the mob princess of West Virginia.
The what?
Right.
Hey, listen, hey, listen, Shammy, I need you to do a few things.
I need you to do a few things.
All I'm saying is a little bit of this. You know,
after everyone says that to you, you just need to take Mike out of his car and say, cut.
Hey.
Let Mike explain to you what the thing you're afraid of.
Let me just explain to the opposition of Sammy Brown. Listen, all I'm saying is people fall down steps all the time. That's all I'm saying. Accidents happen.
There's a river about a couple miles away.
Couple folks here, couple folks there, whatever.
But anyway, enough. Yeah, that's all usually. It's just like, it's a joke, right? That's the problem.
I mean,
yeah,
but the reality is, you know, yes, we have this reputation of taking what we needed by force. And there was a time in the state especially that it had to be done, especially in coal mines, steel mills, et cetera, et cetera. Like that's how we got things done. Years ago.
You know, Sammy, I had some experience with strikes, and I never saw one.
See?
Always the vote was to strike was to defend themselves against, usually a sustained period of being ripped off.
Exactly.
Okay? And so, I mean, I think people... I don't really want to come back to that here in this discussion a little bit, because I expect that the impact of just in the upcoming West Virginia budget debate, for example,
right?
Not to mention whatever's coming down the hill in the way of political fecal matter from the top.
How much custom am I allowed to do on Epic Radio here, John?
Mount Kilimanjaro there, or wherever it's coming from.
You're talking about the pending bullshit legislation that's going to screw all of us? Are you talking about that?
Well, we're going to have people it's going to have a lot of pain inflicted.
BS 101, this, yeah.
The teachers, the classrooms, and I'm worried, I am terribly worried about, the fragility of the economic recovery, both, nationally and internationally. Right. You have protectionist tariffs starting to pick up. Things are not looking good in the European Union. They're not getting better at all.
You have all these countries have their elections coming up very soon.
And you have instability rising. And so I worry terribly about everything that has arisen, in the wake of the Black Lives Matter, movement and stuff, that, this conflict with the police and the police that, people taking shots at them now, right? Everyone knows how they're going to react to that. Okay.
I mean, I can touch on a few things on that, John, because for one, education is one of those boxes that for service personnel and teachers alike, I have to tell you, this is a group of people that absolutely voted against their interests in this cycle. I can't stress that enough. They are going to be attacked and attacked hard within the first 30 days of session. They have absolutely no intention of fully funding public education. So K-12 will be sliced apart, and I can see it now.
So you think there was a strong vote against for Republicans amongst the teachers?
No, I actually think teachers voted for Republicans, and I don't think they understand what's about to happen.
So the onslaught of the vacuum cleaner to other states will just continue.
I mean, it's...
It's going to get even... I mean, instead of it being a Hoover up, right, it's now an industrial shop vac. It's just sucking into Maryland and Virginia.
I'm genuinely concerned. Just in my county, just in Jefferson County, $495,000 lost in one fiscal year. And yet, you elected people that claimed that they brought money to public education. No, you lost $500,000 in one fiscal year. You did not have Friends of Education in the House or in the Senate for the past 2 years, and yet you reelected them.
All right, so here's my proposal for you.
Yes.
I don't know what your job application process has been recently, but...
Hit me.
So I think, here's the thing. I'm going to go a little bit on the theory of Robert Byrd, who was asked about how a citizen might go about changing national policy.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, if you want a national policy changed, you better get your state to demand it.
Exactly.
And then somebody might listen to you.
Exactly.
You know? I mean, barring some, you know, you're the guy, you're the only guy in Hell's creation that has a key to Mordor. Mm-hmm. You know, other yes, than that, you're gonna have to have a state.
President-elect Mango Mussolini, actually, he was eventually, he said that, you know, the cabinet is starting to take shape. It's not completely Saren yet, but the president-elect is confident he will find the One Ring. So,
yeah. But anyway, no, I think we follow that down. And, of course, how do you get your state to do something? You know, well, I think you have to get... You know, the towns and cities and counties in this case,
sure.
And the county commission in this area is the highest, is the most powerful body, at least regionally, okay, in each county. And so I think that, you know, in order for progressive forces to rebuild the kind of base of common understandings.
Sure.
A reign of BS and whatever it's going to be coming down, is you have to figure out a way to make it something that people can validate.
Right.
So my plan and I was hoping to get your help and some other people's help on this would be to make sure that people from this radio station are at every county commission meeting, and that we find a way to bring every one of the political corpses that are going to be piling up as a result of one or more of this, you know, of freepy, crumpy, whatever activity.
Right.
And locally as well, bring every one of those corpses right there in their front door and make them stink up, you know. And I think that in order to do that, I think you got to drill down and get into it.
I agree with you, John. I think a lot of this
and
is...
we could turn it into like the Adams, the county commission. If it can't do anything, becomes the Adams family.
Okay.
No, it's true. It's true, though. I really do think that my bold prediction for all of this is that folks are going to see, they're going to have buyer's remorse for this one. It's now 2 years. It's very solid. There is absolutely no way that you can pin this on any other party. You have the supermajority. Put responsibility on any other party. Republicans, you got it for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
So maybe if I can find the silver lining in all of this, this is probably the best thing that could have happened for the Democratic Party. If you can brand this in the next 2 years and run with it, then you can pick up your seats in 2018.
But Jim Justice is the governor.
With
he's gonna done do it
with but a severe.
I don't know. You tell you what, I done did it. I'll tell you, I got in there. Hold on a second.
Didn't see his axe. Okay.
Hold on a second. I took one step. Hold on. I gotta breathe.
Hold on, Mike. Mr. Justice, sit down. Okay.
Yeah.
Let.
It's gonna take me a while. I apologize.
I'd rather have Sammy as governor, but go. Ahead. So Sammy, go ahead.
You never know. I might run. But the reality is, you have in here where he's basically a figurehead at this point. There's nothing he can do when you have a severe majority in the House. It's not even close in the Senate now. It's not even close. So at this point, no matter what he could do, he's going to have to placate and pander to the Republican Party. How effective is he going to be as our Democratic governor?
Well, how many of them you think are vulnerable to bribes?
Because he's got gobs of money. They love the Greenbrier. They love that.
They love it more than the New Orleans Saints. They really.
Oh my God.
They
do.
And like the Saints go to training camp there.
Everything's
going to
be at the Greenbrier. Yeah. Everything. In fact, yeah. I don't think Jim's.
It's like
gonna...
it's like the West Virginia Trump Tower.
Exactly. No, I really was going to say that. I don't think that he's ever going to set foot in the Capitol. He's just going to hang out at the Greenbrier.
Well, I mean, also too, I think it's going to be fascinating because for years they've damn Obama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything in their lives that had ever gone wrong. What are you going to say now?
You can't.
Yeah, because I love these people that run around and go, yeah, woo-hoo, we're in charge, we won. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You are in charge.
You did.
You're in charge.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
So now let's see what you do.
When the world goes to pot.
Yeah. When, hey, don't,
well, we're not gonna, I don't think we're gonna
do
that.
Don't try to punch me in the face when we're all falling down into the shitter. Don't, you know, because that's your fault.
yeah, no, I mean, at this point, you can't reallocate responsibility. You've got it. You've got it. This is yours now. So, yeah. I mean, for the next 2 years, Democrats, what are you going to do with that?
Right.
And I think that part of that comes with, you know, we now have been opened up to an un-PC post-Trump era. So you can say what you want, you can do what you want now. And
as Larry, my friend Larry Wilmore called it, the whitening.
Yeah, well, exactly.
The white lash.
So here we are. If that's
was Van Jones, I think.
If that's the way we're allowed to conduct ourselves now, you know, us on the left, why aren't you rallying? Why aren't you petitioning? Why aren't you picketing?
I think it starts with what John said, and
drag him in there.
I'm going. I'm going to go to every council meeting that I'm available to go to.
They're
going
to see us coming in, and they're going to start. What are you guys doing here? You know, that kind of thing. That's good for us.
Just want to offer some suggestions to you guys. Try to help out. That's what we're here for.
But we are concerned citizens, and that's the reality of this. You cannot run for these offices and not think that you can't be held accountable for your actions. And I mean, maybe. Maybe they didn't come to roost this cycle, but they will. Mm-hmm.
They don't necessarily come to roost in the ways that you think, though. I don't know that the Democratic Party... we don't know. There's definitely a serious internal debate at all levels taking place, and I see this on the left as well. I see a lot of what I will call absence of political sobriety about what really got us to this point. Mm-hmm. And what really got us to this point is 40 years of austerity, minus a couple of years in the middle of the Clinton administration. And if you have people that don't get a... If you have a situation where the median worker does not get a raise since 1972, mm-hmm. That amounts to spit anyway, okay,
right,
compared to the level of growth in the overall economy and wealth at the top end, right? Well then, you got an economy that's called scrambling for crumbs,
mm-hmm.
and when everybody does that, you know, all the worst things happen. You know, every possible source of division, race, gay issues, religious, family values, you know, and then you have one generation go by, and their kids do no better than them. Maybe a little worse, you know, then the Great Depression hits here, you know, and it's like the end of this never-ending thing. So now that is an objective thing, okay, that's going on.
Very
it's like
so.
you got people putting them in a steam box, okay, and, you know, they're going to get nasty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, and experienced differently by different people. I mean, African-Americans didn't run out and vote for Trump. You know, I mean, okay, that wasn't their reaction to the thing, but because for a lot of those communities, I mean, it's been a depression for 40 years or for longer than 40. Okay,
I actually think minorities stayed home. I
agree.
Well, in more numbers than they did for Obama, for sure.
But you know, you look at that, but then you look at the real actual voting numbers, and she's actually won more votes,
2.5 million,
than anybody in history, I think, or close. Take out the 2008. Take out 2008. She did. She won more votes than anybody else.
I do know that she, I mean, far and away, she won the popular vote. So, I mean, and obviously that's a whole other conversation.
Sure.
But,
sure.
That's not going to change, though. Okay.
No.
You know, in 2000, mm-hmm. and it didn't impress the Bushes at all, frankly. And I don't think this guy, look, he's not. You can't maintain the kind of coalition and the kind of things he's planning on doing, you know, without returning to Nixon's what do you call it, apparatus of coercion.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the Nixon's reaction to the civil rights movement and the anti-war movement was to start shooting people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and assassination.
Yeah,
Look at the Black Panther Party. You know, yep. Look at a whole bunch of people. You
right.
Know,
well, I mean, also, you know. Too, the stunning thing that I kind of go on is if you look at what was sold, too, if you talk about Hillary and she gave some speeches to Wall Street. Look, the guy that's the president-elect right now owes over almost $3.4 billion to Deutsche Bank. The guys who were in trouble prior to the crash, who created the crash, they were in trouble after the crash, and they're in trouble right now.
But I don't
think...
That's not going to matter.
No.
You know...
That's what I'm saying is,
and it
should.
You have to focus on the wages. If you don't focus on the economy, you're not going to be able to talk to these folks.
But
okay? And plus, don't count on there being another election. You think you're going to recover by just waiting for all this bad crap to roll downhill on everybody, and then I guess we made a big mistake, and we should have chosen the Democrats.
Right.
How's that ever going to happen if you don't have any relationships to them? Okay.
Exactly.
Right. You
know,
right. I mean, you need exactly. to. Yeah. You need to. Yeah. I don't disagree, John. I was thinking about it, and I apologize. I think you're probably right to a certain extent. I think you do need to. The Democrats do need to speak to the people that voted for Trump this time around. And we do need, because they'll be much more powerful and more compassionate and more understanding when they see that they probably made a mistake.
Well, I think we need to drill down to what made Trump appealing to the people of West Virginia. What was it? And I know that we've There was no local commentary. It was all directly attributed to the very top of the ticket. So what was it about him that made him so appealing? And if you look at that, you can also see why Jim won. Think about what it was about that man that made him appealing to West Virginians. What was it?
I think to a certain extent, people have some level of innate admiration for people of wealth.
Exactly.
They really do. They think, oh, well, since he's coming at it from this perspective where he was able to, you know, be very, very successful, obviously this shouldn't stop him. That he should appealing to me because it's something different.
Exactly.
And it's not the same old politician.
People have no way to validate the different competing claims, and working people have no time.
No, I know,
and most of them don't even have and a lot of them don't have they can't evaluate different policy positions. We get surprised, but yes, people vote on character, on what they perceive might be values, you know, on these things. Sometimes depending on what their career has been, experience is important. Sometimes it depends on what's happening to them. But there's no way that we can, you know, go back and do it again, right? I mean, you have to go from where we're at now, and you have to confront the fact that you're going to have a very serious kind of struggle. And you're going to have to do some things that haven't been done in a while. I'll give you an example, okay? The wage theft that goes on in this county. Told me that I said, "Well, why can't you get? Why are all these settlements confidential? All right, because you can't find out." And he said, well, that's because there is a violation of the Wage and Hour Act in the state of West Virginia. There's no penalty for it. You can be found guilty by some administrative person, but there's no imprisonment. There's no fine.
Right.
There's no judgment. And so the only leverage you have to get a settlement out of a company is that you promise not to tell them anybody about it. But he did say, you know, however, the initial fine. If the judgment is sealed, the initial complaint
is a
public record.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was twinkling his eye, says it might be possible, you know, to find out how, because he says the problem, I mean, he represents some of these people, right? The problem is pervasive. in the terms of lost time, never being paid for it, not being paid overtime properly, you know, all kinds. Look, the way I noticed the way a friend of mine, his shift is organized at Walmart, it's so that he can end up working 80 hours straight but not getting a dime of overtime, you know, because of the way you split the shifts across the week, right?
Exactly.
So that those kind of practices, which, you know, you know, you'd have been organized.
Well, they just lost Walmart just lost big time to their truckers.
Well, okay,
they tried to mess with the wrong.
Oh, they definitely
they know
are.
What the hell they're doing. So they
some are, some aren't.
No, I know. But also too, there was another kind of landmark case that kind of caught my eye a little bit was the workers in California that just won a case of it was considered wage theft over a course of like 15 years.
Well, yeah. So I think wage theft campaigns. Mm-hmm. Would be a cool thing to do. I mean, because I think you need to get a hold. You need to, you know, find. Now, you know, if there's confidential settlements, you might not be able to mention names. But, you know, one of the things you can do on internet radio and is that you can ask questions. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so and I think that would be those would be great questions to ask. And because I think once you start asking those questions publicly, you know, we understand there was a charge against Burger Flipper over here, and we've asked Burger Flipper to comment on. They said they can't. Does that mean they're guilty? Probably. If you want, you know, there might be, you know, the other. If you want to stay confidential, why don't you just come and tell us about it before you get fired or quit?
Mm-hmm. Okay. We will find
a way to we have a little small group here that will torture anyone that releases your name.
There's the new franchise, Burger Flipper.
Burger Flipper.
I've never heard of that. Burger Flipper. I see an opportunity here. I don't know if you've ever heard of Moo Cluck Moo.
Well, I mean,
have you ever heard of it?
No.
It's in Michigan, and the guy is truly amazing. No one working at the four locations makes under $18 an hour after 6 months.
Wow.
So
I mean, it's truly, it's astounding. It really is. And he takes risks on parolees that come out and need work and need retraining. He comes out and he helps them pay for their school. And
I want that business model.
Yeah, I mean, one guy came back. He went to school. He got out of prison. Went to work as a fry cook, worked his ass off, got up to like it's a great American success story. And the guy, I mean, I'm just talking about taking that little initial.
Waiting for the nice boss will get you nowhere.
That's not what I'm saying. I know. But looking at those stories, but those kind of stories don't get enough attention. The other stories are the ones that get, and I understand that we need to focus a light on bad players that don't play by the rules and try to manipulate their employees. We need to pay close attention to that.
But we also
need to celebrate people that do the right thing.
Okay, if you can find someone that does that, that's good. But I think you,
Chobani.
I think the
Chobani.
Anyway, but there's an additional issue. So fighting the wage theft. All right, and now the.
Sorry, it happened in Charlestown.
So, and it would be, that's a, you know, we need to, it's important as we publicize things going on in the county, a little more transparency, mm-hmm. that, you know, people within the county government that want to get the news out, that know there's stuff's happening, mm-hmm. and that want a way, you know, in which to expose improper, illegal, unfair, unjust, immoral, corrupt cases of practices, and to stay keep it going.
Yes.
Don't do it yet, Mike.
Don't do it
now. But there's another problem besides, you know, trying to get everybody's wages, and that problem is equality.
Equality or equity?
Well, the way you get equity is you fight for equality. Okay.
I think that was a great comment.
Now I want to give an example, because my good friend from Detroit, who was an organizer for Obama, mm-hmm. like in 2008, and then there was also a campaign director for the Oakland County Treasurer, who won. Because our friend has a great ground game, you know, and in the Michigan region.
Can we borrow the friend?
Yes, you know,
we need to
get the ground game.
Anyway, yes. So she was telling me that, and she has good relationships with everybody in Oakland, and a lot of people in Oakland County. She's done a lot of campaigns, and so she was headed off and getting a tour through one of the auto plants there. Mm-hmm. And of course, the National Auto UAW agreements have, for the past 10 years, included a two-tier situation, which the company shoved down their throat. Or if you're one of the militants in the shop, you would say the union leadership talked through a tube to the boss, you know, kind of thing. And, you know, protected their buddies and let everybody else eat shit, you know, that kind of thing. Well, all those people that are on the two-tier that got the low wage, don't get the union wage, guess what kind of stickers they had on their toolboxes?
What did they have?
Trump.
Oh, of course. Ugh. Okay.
UAW members, okay?
Come on.
And yes. Because they, you know, to hell with it. You know, the union's saying, go do this, do that. You know, they say, but, you know, what do you do for me? You know, that erosion over time, right? You know, you have this thing that eats at unity in the shop. Two guys doing the same job, they get really different pay.
But
because
it was the past administration that did the auto bailout, though. Like, this
it doesn't matter. You know, people want, that's okay. If you go into prison, okay, and, you know, you get the hole, okay, with, you know, nothing, and the other person is like Al Capone in there receiving guests and drinking fine
wine.
This
is not Goodfellas, John.
It's still not going to happen. You know, so you got to fight the question of equality.
Funny how.
You can't you
make
can't,
you laugh?
You can't skip
what am I, a clown?
That. Otherwise, you know, it'll be good for you, but not for me, kind of thing. Yeah. And you can't engage in those kind of. See, this happened. Now I want to give you the bad side of that, because the practice in the UAW of negotiating that two-tier thing was put before the United Electrical Workers in the Machine Valley in New Hampshire, and we defeated it.
Interesting.
We defeated it.
Huh.
And all those plants are now gone. All of them.
Wow.
So bye-bye.
Now, see, and that's over a 20-year period, you know. Now, you can't, you know, did one thing cause another? Well, obviously, we know that these processes are real, okay, that are. Supply chains can extend all over the globe, okay. And they're going to seek out the cheapest prices for raw materials, the closest access to markets, and the cheapest labor.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
You know, and we, you know, you can't, you know, you can say what's right or wrong. Like I used to say, I think that's what's happening right now in Michigan to the UAW.
Hmm.
And, you know, and they're paying their president $1 million a year, and the guy down at the bottom has got, you know, half the union wage because, we had to do that to save the plant. Save what plant, you know? See what I mean?
You can't have union leadership. Make all the goddamn money.
Okay, but that's what I don't want to worry.
Just dumbfounded. Why? You're going against the very principles that you're supposed to stand for. I can't.
Equity can't be obtained. Equity cannot. Unity cannot be obtained without justice.
Exactly.
It's the same as peace.
Oh my God.
It's the same as peace. Okay. So it's got to be higher wages and equality. Both.
Both. Please. Yes. Yes, I can't. John, get me off this show.
John.
You've just pissed me right off.
John Case, let me just.
Yeah, what?
Let me just talk to you for a second.
I'm awful glad that you called in, Bernie, because I just was all done with my rant.
Everyone, okay? Take a moment.
and calm down. Worked for Trump. My point is, eventually, everything's going to fall apart. Merry Christmas.
Right. When you get to hell, just tell them the Republicans sent you there.
And who might you be?
Donald Trump sent me here to say hi to you, Satan, and thanks.
Occupy West Virginia show.
This sign says move forward. Then I don't want to go that direction.
Sammy Brown, future president of the United States.
Yes, of course.
And I don't know whether we may have to.
How did she become governor of West Virginia? How'd that happen?
Well, there was this little crappy internet radio show.
And it went
viral. And a man named John Kath, and it went viral, and everything was crazy after that. All of a sudden, John Kath is managing her campaign. It's nuts. Jim Justice fell off of a scoop.
I told her
because he was whittling.
I told her never appear before a camera without a gun.
Dogs and cats living together, mass hysteria.
Landslide.
Well, coming up next on the Epic Radio, it's going to be Rock Pile, and I believe that it's going to include some. T-Rex and some Hendrix.
Oh, excellent.
And
love me some
Benny Snyder is here. You know, he has other monikers, but we won't use them now.
Yeah.
And he's going to be well, Benny has had other shows in which he identified himself differently. And so
his
other show, for example, was called The Barnyard. And this one is called Rock Pile.
I would like you to refer to me as the man formerly known as Mike Diesel, please.
Okay. Well, I need a cool name, too.
Thank you.
I need a cool name.
Yes.
You need a radio name like Tokyo Rose, but not that one.
Okay. I think Sammy Brown's a cool name. I'm sorry.
It does have a ring to it.
Yeah,
right?
It is a cool name. It does. It's a cool, yeah.
Like it just it really
is. Females, the Sammy thing. That's
Sammy Brown.
Sammy Brown, everybody. Hey, good morning, Sammy Brown of the morning, everybody. That's the morning zoo with Sammy Brown, everybody.
It just works. I can't let
Mike Diesel and Sammy Brown in the morning. Good morning, everybody.
Hey, you
John Case and Sammy Brown in the morning. Case and Brown in the morning.
Are you going to the march down in Washington, one of them? Yeah, have you made up your mind?
I am a career rebel rouser, so I
probably
feel like that's
is your mom going too? Or,
they have other plans for her, sir.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's.
We have tickets for the bus. We're going to go.
I feel like. So.
That's right. So,
thug. Sorry. You union thug. You labor.
So that'll be
hey,
me.
Hey, how you doing? Hey, listen, it's me. I'm running for office. Get over it.
All right.
What? What'd I say?
Mike Diesel.
I was kidding. Don't do that.
Sammy Brown. I hope she gets more involved here. And
eventually in 2017 you will hear a new show
part
being
of
on
our
the
team
air by Mike
that
Diesel.
Visits the county commissions and
in Comedy We Trust.
And tries to promote transparency with respect to the reptiles
you,
that are now holding office. Okay. So anyway. By the way, I got a bunch of mail the other day from people telling me they didn't want to talk ever again to the two Republicans that were connected with this station, because I'm not going to have Trump support.
There was a lot of stress on him, and he was fit to be tied.
Well, not that I don't like some of them. You know, I mean, personally, I enjoyed talking with Pelish for over years, but I'm not going to have somebody in here that's going to support this creep, okay?
Yeah.
Because he scares the hell out of me.
Should.
Yeah.
And I think we're, there's a good chance we're headed right back to 1914, and that scares the hell out of me even more.
Should.
Well, I think it should scare everybody.
Yep.
Yeah. this is a very regressive administration that's about to be implemented.
Yeah, yeah, right.
That cabinet is scary.
That's a delicious sandwich. What's yours made out of, shit? Oh, good. Yummy.
Delightful.
That Publix goes have now been closed. We report to your local church. And by the way,
bring your Bible.
You'll have.
And your gun.
And your flag.
And your flag.
And make sure that you get all the Amway products you need.
Stay loyal. Reproduce.
You know,
stay loyal. Stay loyal. Yeah, don't think. Go to work. Don't think.
My buddy and I, we used to in Kansas. We were looking for a job, and we ended up with Fuller Brush. But we ended up going first to the Amway, and we went into their meeting, and they had the Pledge of Allegiance and a prayer, and they were all just to stand up, and the front row, when the leader came in, did a Heil kind of
I don't even believe you right now.
Yes, this is. I'm talking about 1966.
By the way. Oh no, John.
And I said, you have to do all these things to be there. And my buddies, he was a little profane. He was from Brooklyn. He actually was Italian, but he looked Puerto Rican.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
And he had a very kind of, very olive kind of complexion.
Right. Yeah. I there's some wonderful people reminds in my family that are exactly like that.
He's
this
one of these
Sicilian
guys.
Side.
He's one of these guys that reminds me of, like, you ever read the Walter Mosley?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know how when Mosley describes people, white people included, they're never the same color.
No.
No. It's always different. Yeah.
He's always got you as a cinnamon bun or banana muffin or something. He's just got the whole
cream. The cream looks very much like the cream that came out of an eclair. I'm like, what?
But I see it.
All right. Thank you guys for being on here, and take care of each other. And it's late, but everything comes next.